possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Well, 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 we are at your service. Hello, good afternoon. It is afternoon. You know, it's 5 minutes after 12 right now. And this is Johnny Rabbit. We're here on KMOX. The show is not here today. They've taken a well-deserved day off. They will return, well, two-thirds of them will return on Monday, but the other has moved on to another time area. Checking the KMOX calendar, we see that Christmas Eve is just 29 days away. And to prove that the season is really upon us, I heard from Travis Dillon at Ted Drew's Frozen Custard that the trees are available as we speak right now, first time today. Get a Dottie tree. They're the best. Selection and quality is terrific. Better than the last couple of years, he said. And while you're tree shopping, I do suggest having and enjoying a Johnny Rabbit chocolate-covered cherry concrete. Let's talk about birds and oddities and cartoons. And who better to talk about that? It's Dan Martin. Dan is here from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Are you at the Post today working?
No. But I'm working at home. I draw everything at home right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I go in and pick up art supplies and mail, and sometimes I'll work. But most of us non-essential employees are working at home still.
Who could be more essential? What do you mean non? That's pretty sure. I'm
You're
a non-essential
kind,
employee. Oh, that's scary. I don't know if you know the name, Dan Martin. You might know it from books that he's put out. Through the Post-Dispatch, this is going to run 50 years of our own oddities. That was great. It was in the Sunday comic section.
Correct.
I never missed it. I mean, I saw every issue, and I don't know how many years. How many years? 50 years?
It went 50
from
years,
40
yeah.
Something?
Ralph Grazek drew it for 50 years, and that's a Post-Dispatch book. I just wrote the introduction to it.
Mm-hmm.
The dedication, but I knew Ralph, and he was a terrific guy.
And Ralph's son, Ralph Grazek Jr.,
naturally
was
yeah.
right here, right in this studio. He worked for many years for KMOX Radio. I think he teaches golf or something.
I don't know, but a swell guy. He's a nice guy as his dad. In fact, one of Ralph's daughters lives pretty close to me in Sunset Hills, And Ralph was just a real character. And interestingly enough, he grew up in Carondelet with Amity. That's how Ralph got his job at the Post-Dispatch.
That's how it is. Now, and, you know, we know about all these things, and somebody would say, grew up with Amity. What's an Amity? Is it kind of a disease or something? I grew up with Amity.
Well it's a rash. It's cleared up. But Amity was the great Post-Dispatch weatherbird and sports cartoonist, and he drew the weatherbird for 50 years.
Oh, boy.
And he was one of my mentors, mm-hmm. and another mentor of mine was Al Schweitzer, who will be 101 next month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
good.
Happy birthday, Al.
Yes, happy.
Ralph and Amity were two street urchins on the streets of Minnesota Avenue and Carondelet, and Amity got a job at the paper. He joined the art department in 1929 and started drawing the bird in 32 and stopped in 81.
Now, you have drawn the weather bird since?
1986.
That's a long. That is too.
It seems like a long time. Yes, yes. Chances are I'm going to retire next year, but I'll continue to work part-time drawing the bird, which is full-time from the paper.
Good.
So,
the history of the bird, the weather bird. When you have a weather bird book right here, then it's a cute book. I've looked through this so many times. It's a foreword by Mike Peters. We'll talk about him in a moment.
Sure.
The oldest continuously running daily cartoon in American journalism, the weather bird.
Believe it or not.
Wow. So what was the year?
February 11th, 1901.
Gosh.
And... So he was started, created by a cartoonist for the paper named Harry B. Martin.
No relation?
No relation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he drew it for a few years, and then another guy took over, Oscar Chopin, you know, Kate Chopin's son.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I stumped Johnny Rabbit. I can't believe it.
Kate Chopin's son. I had no idea.
And then about 1910, another Martin took over, Carlisle Martin, and drew it to 1932. And Carlisle Martin and Harry Martin knew each other, but out of the six artists that have drawn the weather bird, three of us have been named Martin, and none of us have been related, believe it or not.
That is really kind of strange.
That's a good St. Louis trivia question.
It really is. And these books we're talking about, I have another one we're going to mention. They are available probably on Amazon.
Amazon, yes. They're still on Amazon.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch weather bird is one. Another is Our Own Oddities, which was at... How do you describe Our Own Oddities for people who might not know?
Think of it as St. Louis version of Ripley's Believe It or Not. In fact, that was the inspiration for it, that Joseph Pulitzer thought that, this is Joseph Pulitzer II, the founder's son, thought that someone should have their name in the paper aside from when they were born and when they died. And so they came to Ralph, and he created something called St. Louis Oddities. And after a couple of years, it just morphed into Our Own Oddities, and it was a big deal. And I was in it when I was, my father was in it, both of us were in it when I was in high school, and everyone saw it, and we must have got a dozen phone calls and mail from friends and family all over, because once you were in the Oddities in the Sunday paper, you were a celebrity.
Now, why were you in it?
My dad had a camper truck. On the side of the truck, you know how people would see Johnny Rabbit and Sons? Well, my father and I shared the same name, so he painted it Dan Martin and Father.
Oh,
just as a quirky thing, and someone saw it on the street and called in to Ralph, and he put it in the paper.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
isn't that great? But it's too bad that that's not around anymore. That'd be a lot of fun.
I do know Ralph a tremendous amount of time. I tried to do we sort of did an homage to Ralph on one of the anniversaries, Jeff Daniels and myself, and it just never. It's just too darn much work.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yes.
So now the cartoon, the weather bird, is in every day.
Right.
I mean, every day. It's not like weekdays only or something, but
no.
How do you keep up with this? And if you're doing it from home, how do you decide? Or does somebody say, okay, we want you to do a weather bird talking about such and such?
Well, you know, all of us work at home. We're plugged. My screen at home looks exactly like my screen downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I deal with the news editor, the night news editor, Brent Fisher, and he gives me a budget of the stories that are going to be on the front page that day, and then I pick the subject.
I see.
And then I go downstairs and draw it and scan it in and write the bird line for it and send everything back to Brent wherever he's working.
That's terrific. What's your deadline?
We do it about 5 or 6, and, you know, usually I have an hour, a couple of hours to work on it.
Mm-hmm. How big is it? When you do the drawing, it's small in
it's
the paper.
Small there, but it's about twice the size, sometimes three times the size of what you see published in the paper every day.
Now, do you put the color in it as well?
Put the color in it and write a dozen bird lines for Brent to choose from, and away we go.
Oh, that's great. A combination of talents to go to work. That little teeny tiny thing. You know, a lot of people just don't even, they just take it for granted that it's going to be there. I look for it. It's just like salt and pepper on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
I always look. That's the first thing I look at in the editorial page is a little cartoon. First thing I look at on the front page of the Post-Dispatch is your friendly weather bird right down there in the right-hand corner.
Thank you, Johnny. Well, you know, people ask why this quirky thing. Well, it's sort of the same quirky reason why the New York Times has that little box at the top that says all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah.
Or why the Chicago Tribune has an American flag on the front. It's just a tradition. It makes us unique in the newspaper world, and St. Louisans have loved it since 1901.
Absolutely. But we're going to come back and talk to Dan a little more, a bit more about some cartooning and cartoonists, and some with a St. Louis connection. Oh, I have to mention one that I don't, you said you weren't familiar with, Cranberry Boggs.
That doesn't ring a bell. I would have to Google that. I'm sorry, Johnny.
I have not Googled it, but Cranberry Boggs was a in the Post. I'm not sure how many years. It was in print from 1945 to 1949. It seems like it was in there maybe that length of time. It was in the front page of the cartoons or the comics, uh-huh, right at the bottom. And it was kind of a takeoff on Little Abner. From the New England theme or whatever, huh. Cranberry Boggs. Well, I was just trying to remember, but I know it was in the 40s, in the late 40s, and I think right around the end of World War II, up to right at 1949. So check into Cranberry Boggs.
I will. That's the kind of cartoon trivia I love to hunt.
Well, we're going to hunt some more cartoon trivia with a guy who knows all about this, Dan Martin. And this is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service, and this is KMOX.
Wex.
Interesting. You might want to know what people talk about when they're sitting around or not on the air. There's Dan Martin is here. He's the weather bird himself. You do other cartoons. You do that Saturday editorial cartoon.
I do. Not tomorrow, but for 26 years, I've been drawing Postcard from Mound City, which is sort of a political social cartoon about all things St. Louis.
And when we were not really listening to the commercials, I wonder if people really listen to the commercials. I don't know. We were not listening. I know they were on. I know somebody was talking. We were just talking about radio stations and how they come up with the call letters of radio stations.
Uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of people don't even have to talk about call letters anymore. They talk about, you know, just a slogan for the station becomes right. The call letter, so to speak. But they all do have and required by the Federal Communications Commission call letters. And there are some limitations. If you're west of the Mississippi, you have to start with a K. East, right. You start with a W. And they want to have a name that sounds like, I remember Katie. There was KADY and KADI. That's the guy wanted for a while they called it the Katie twins. And so a lot of times there are things there, yeah, they'll use. I have no idea why this just came to mind because it was an awful slogan. KGRV. I have no idea what that is today. It's on the air somewhere because a lot of dial positions have had several call letter changes over the years, but KGRV and their slogan was Music for Groovy Grown-Ups. So sometimes things just don't work out that well. Now, see you in the funny papers here. This is a rich tradition of St. Louis cartooning. We're going to talk about these things with Dan Martin. And you take it from there as far as St. Louis cartoonists.
Oh, we've got a whole string of it. But, you know, there's a famous cartoonist connected with KMOX. I bet you didn't know that, John.
I did not know that.
Lee Falk, who was raised in St. Louis and went to Soldin and University of Illinois. He produced and directed radio plays for KMOX when the station was still in the Mart building. And in 1934, he created the famous Mandrake the Magician comic strip.
One of my absolute favorites.
Oh, mine too. And then in 1936, he created the Phantom comic strip. And the artist for those at one time or another worked in the Shell building down the street or the Louderman building downtown here. But the Phantom was first drawn by Ray Moore, a Post-Dispatch cartoonist, and he lived out in De Pere. And when he died, his widow lived in the house. Then she donated the land to the Missouri Department of Conservation. So if you go out to De Pere off Daugherty Ferry Road, you can find a beautiful little hiking park called Phantom Forest.
Oh, that's why.
I stumped Johnny, really? Have you ever seen that before?
I've heard the name, and why do they call it Phantom Forest?
That's all. And, you know, of course, you know, the Phantom, a lot of people think, was, you know, the beginning of the first superhero, the one with white eyes and things like that. And Superman didn't come along until 1939, so St. Louis can kind of claim the first superhero also.
It's a wonderful, wonderful story. That is terrific. And what about Prince Valiant?
Oh, what a great comic strip that was. And after Hal Foster left years ago, mm-hmm, John Cullen Murphy was the cartoonist on it. And his family helped him produce the strip. And it was his daughter, Meg Nash, lives in Webster Groves. And she was doing the coloring on it, I think. But the other big shots in town, the Blondie, Chick Young, is from St. Louis. His house is still down on Oregon Avenue. He went to McKinley High School. And, of course, he created a strip about a flapper who married a rich railroad tycoon's son. And the railroad tycoon's son, if you marry that floozy, I'm going to cut you off. But he married Blondie anyway. And that was the beginning of the Blondie comic strip. And George McManus, who drew Bringing Up Father, is a St. Louisan. And a cartoonist named Mike Peters, who does Mother Goose and Grimm, but a lot of St. Louisans remember his mother, Charlotte Peters.
Sure, absolutely. And that that's still around.
Yes, going strong. And Mike lives in Florida and is terrific guy and a Pulitzer Prize winner for his Dayton Daily News editorial cartoons.
These are wonderful St. Louis connections that people probably don't know about.
Well, one of my favorites is, we could throw a rock and hit this, is over at, on Market Street at 16th, where the post office is, around the turn of the century, 16th went all the way through, and right on that corner facing Market was a vaudeville house, the People's Palace Theater. And that's where Cliff Edwards got his start in show business. Cliff Edwards from Hannibal. He sold 74 million records, huge Broadway movie star. And in 1940, he auditioned for the Walt Disney for the voice of Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
And so when people hear When You Wish Upon a Star, you could look over here and know his show business started right here on Market.
16th and Market.
Yeah.
The People's Palace Theater is a great name for a theater. We had a lot of theaters, I'll tell you. Have you done any cartooning as far as animation?
I have not. That's really sort of a discipline to its own and very tough. And to do that, people have to be an artist, and they do have to be an actor as well. And that brings me to Glenn and Gary McCoy over in Belleville. Glenn has done a lot of work on the on animation, writing gags and storylines for the Minions movies.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, and also in town we have Steens, who does a young woman from St. Louis who does Heart of the City. Jeff Weigel does the Sunday Phantom. He still lives in the St. Louis area. Rick Burkett, a famous comic book artist. And so there's still a lot of great cartoonists and illustrators still working in St. Louis.
We'll have to do a program sometime at the Missouri History Museum.
Oh, you know, I've helped out a little bit here and there on that. Those are great programs. I'm so pleased that you packed the audience on that.
I am too. It's very nice. It's easy to pack them when it's free.
That's right.
It would be different if it's $10
a ticket. Right?
I don't know. Well, it'd be something to do a whole show on cartoons. And
sure.
Because there'd be a lot of visuals. I mean, this is not just talking. We can't show any visuals. We can't show, and we probably wouldn't even want to show, a picture of Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, yes. Mr. Gerber, who is from St. Louis.
Steve Gerber went to St. Louis U. We worked together at KD Radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He was the public affairs director.
And actually, he has a pretty strong niche in comic book history. And, you know, the movie that was made from the comic book was sort of famous for being so bad. But, it's sort of a bad rap on the whole comic character that he invented.
Howard the Duck. He had a slogan, in a world he didn't create.
Right,
something like that. You've got a cast here with you today. The Peanut Gallery is sort of like being on the Howdy Doody show or something. We look through the glass. Look at there's a studio audience.
That's my fan club.
Isn't that nice? Boy, they're all packed in there like sardines.
My wife, Chris, and my son, Ben, yes. So they have to look at all this nerdy stuff. So they're tired of putting up with me.
I don't think so. No, you're going out to lunch now.
We are.
Where are you going to go? What have you made?
Plans? What kind of recommendations do you have?
Oh, I don't know. It's too hard to make a general recommendation.
We'll find something.
What would you do? Where do you think you'll go? Where do you like to go? Do you go out a lot?
Four Hands Brewery, maybe. We haven't been down there in a while. And, you know, the newspaper crowd, since the Missouri Bar and Grill closed up a while ago, we've lost our hangout.
Right.
So we've kind of adopted O'Connell's or a couple places on Washington Avenue. But it's weird not having a newspaper bar to go to anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That certainly was. And Bismarck had a little of that at one time as well.
They did. That's when 12th Street was Newspaper Row, where you had the Post-Dispatch right down here in Olive. Across the street on that empty lot where the bank is now was the Star Times.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Globe Democrat building that built in 31 is up at Cole and in North 12th Street, Tucker Boulevard. And that's the Post-Dispatch's home from 1960 to just a few years ago when we moved also.
So what's in there today? Square?
Square, yes. Square. Huge.
Have you been in the building since it's been redone?
I have. I was lucky enough to get in. They've just done an amazing job.
What I've heard. I've not been in.
Skylights, and it's just it's incredible. But out of historic preservation, they had to keep some of the stuff, including Joseph Pulitzer's office. And,
great.
Yes, and some other artifacts that, you know, that history demanded that they keep around.
No, if you had to, you have to now. Tell me your favorite cartoon.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Besides the Weatherbird. Other than the Weatherbird, do you have one? Okay, this is it. This is the one. This is the one for whatever reason.
Well, you know, I've been really fond of Beetle Bailey, yes. And I got to know Mort Walker. And as you know, Mort probably went to Mizzou and spent two of his war years at Wash U learning how to be an architectural engineer before he got shipped overseas. So he knew St. Louis pretty well. But Beetle Bailey, and I guess if I had to pick something aside from Mother Goose, it might be Pogo,
good choice.
Yes, but contemporary speaking, in the comics we have Pickles and Pearls Before Swine, two comics that are being produced today that are two of my favorites. I think are hilarious.
Thank you, Dan. Our comedic episode is over. Dan Martin and the Weatherbird and the whole fan club have been here talking with us about seeing each other in the funny papers sometimes. And we'll see you in the paper in the morning, too.
Thank you, Johnny. Read the Post-Dispatch.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
You're
That's
welcome.
Dan Martin. My name is Johnny Rabbit. Our program today, a special edition of At Your Service. Well, KMOX News time is 12:35. Donate a car, get a tax receipt, and tickets to the St. Louis Aquarium at MERSGoodwill.org. I mean, just before he left, I was talking to Joe DiGregorio about something on his book. It is now the number one best-selling book, the book about the Hill, the number one best-selling Amazon travel guide Midwest book. They've sold quite a few copies of them. Speaking of books, I have a book over here that is one of my favorites. If I can get it out from under all the papers for our guest right now. Look at that, Suzanne.
Oh, I know that cover anywhere.
Yes, you do. The Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis. That's a beautiful cover. Suzanne Corbett wrote the book. She's here with us right now. We're not really talking about the book. I guess you can still get the book, though.
Oh, you certainly can. There's all kinds of great locations in there where you can go and eat up all the great stuff in St. Louis. It was my 100 top picks.
Oh.
Or maybe it's 99. We've had a few that's kind of didn't get through
The
pandemic.
Well, of course. No, you know, that's a problem. You know, some of these are probably not around anymore.
Well, just a few. But you know what? The ones that are, go in and order up a full plate. You won't be sorry.
Amigo Joe's. I mean, I've seen that over in Southwest many times. Haven't gone in. What do you say about Amigo Joe's?
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken?
Mexican fried chicken.
What is?
Well, with a side of enchiladas. I mean, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with that.
Mexican food right now is pretty good after all that turkey.
Well, yes. Did you have turkey?
Of course I did. I had two different kinds.
We had manicotti.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Three vegetarians in the family, and
well,
turkey
we,
was...
Well, we have a new friend that's a vegetarian, and it kind of challenged me to try to go beyond the bird.
Uh-huh.
So I think we did okay. We had great squash that was that I roasted and I seasoned with a Louisiana smoked cane sugar syrup it's a delight. It's a delicacy of the plantation country down in Louisiana.
Oh boy. But you know what you've just said, I don't know how he'd even fix that because you're a food expert. I mean, the average person's not going to be able to do all this fancy stuff.
Oh, sure. Well, that's not that fancy. You just cut up an acorn squash, Scrape out the seeds and all the stringy stuff, and roast it down into a pan with a little bit of water, bring it back up, sprinkle it with a little bit of syrup if you'd like, and I threw some fresh thyme leaves in it and baked it until it's about 35 minutes at about 345 degrees, and da-da, there you go. You've got a great vegetarian dish.
It sounds really, really good.
Oh, it is good. And if you want the Gilded Lily, a handful of cheese on something, it's always good.
Speaking of Gilded You have the Gilded Age. What is it?
The Gilded Table.
Table of St. Louis.
The Gilded Table that focuses on the history and the recipes of the Campbell House right down the street from the studios
15th
here.
And Locust. What a beautiful place to visit.
Oh, particularly right now. And on Wednesday, it is the house tour that is done every year that features Campbell House along with other locations throughout the city. I think this year we're at the Field House and the DeMille House. And I'll be in the kitchen stirring up something fun.
What kitchen?
I'll be at the Campbell House,
good.
Of course.
That's where I usually see you.
That's where you're going to see me. I'll have a hoop skirt on and my sleeves rolled up. And I think I'm going to be steaming some plum pudding and knows what else. It just kind of depends on what's at the local market.
Where do you go for the local market? Where do you shop?
Well, you know, whenever I can have a chance, I go down to Soulard Market. You know, I wrote the book, Pushcarts and Stalls, the Soulard Market History Cookbook, and their spice shop there is one of the best places that you can go to get all those spices you need for all the holiday goodies, that from stick cinnamon and whole cloves to nutmeg and allspice and just everything that smells like the holidays. Yeah, it's like, oh,
that that's great. And that's been there a long time.
It has been there a long time, and it is a mainstay that you can use for your shopping throughout the year. And a lot of people don't realize that it is open throughout the winter. They just think it's a farm market, but it's so much more. It is a central market that has been serving St. Louisans for decades.
Since the late 1700s. That's old.
Well, the original property, yes. The new market, or I should say the old marketplace, really dates to like 1850-something, or the exact date escapes me.
But. And then this new building. It's not a new, but probably almost 100 years old.
Oh, it's over 100 years old. It's closer to 200 years old now, considering the city is, you know, more than that.
They're open every day?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that. Mm-hmm. I think it is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, maybe, but I know the weekends, going down for the weekends, which is when everybody shops anyway.
And you want to join a crowd, go to the Soulard Market. Yeah, like on a Saturday, oh boy, it's going to be very, very busy. Now, you're always busy. You're always going somewhere, and you just have gone somewhere and have just returned almost hours ago, just this week. From where?
It seems like it was hours ago. Yeah. I'm still on jet lag, but I had the opportunity to go to Basque Country. Have you ever been to Basque Country?
No, never.
Do you know where Basque Country is?
No, not.
It is in Spain. It's Spain's Basque Country.
Oh.
And it is in the northern region of Spain. And it is a combination of just beautiful seasides to valleys and mountains. It's a little bit south of the Pyrenees, western edge of the country. And it has just a climate that is delightful, with a diversity of small medieval villages, such as LaGuardia, where I happened to find some pincho bars and some other interesting things. But I brought you this today. These are little, I'm going to pass it over to you. There are little breadsticks that they use to have their nibbles and bites. But they have an interesting culture. They're called pincho bars. Pinchu bars. It's sort of like a tapas, but it's really not a tapas, but it has the same mentality of a small plate and a tapas. So I guess if small plates and tapas would have a love child, it would be a pincho bar. So they're a little more creative. Pincho means pierce, so you have toothpicks, a lot of them, that are placed in things, but they're absolutely delightful. You go out and you go from pincho bar to pincho bar. You have one or two of these little small plates, and move on and maybe have some of the local wine or the cider, which is absolutely divine.
What type of cider is it?
Apple cider.
Apple cider.
And it's different varieties. There is one location that you can go to that's just in the valleys of the Basque region, just a little bit about an hour or so outside of Bilbao, which is the largest city in Basque Country, and you can sample six or seven different varieties at this one little eatery that's there. And then the trick is there are huge barrels. you tap the spigot, and you have to quickly put your mug under that because it comes spearing out, and then those that are local know how to line up and not be able to spill a drop. It's fascinating. You've got a chance to engage in the local seafood that is there, and also the wonderful Spanish beef.
Spanish beef? I've heard of Italian beef. Well, what is Spanish beef?
Well, we're talking the cattle, the steers, because you have to remember all those Texas Longhorns, their great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, this came from the Spanish when they brought them over here when they founded their colonies in the United States.
What's the language there?
Basque. They speak of a Basque, which is sort of like it's its own separate language, much like Ukrainian and Russian. It's similar, but it is really a delightful listen to. The culture is fantastic.
You understand the language?
Who, me? No.
Do they understand English?
There are so many English speaking people, and many of the signs and the literature and the places you tour is all in English. So it is very welcoming to any English speaker. So you can find your way around. It is one of the most welcoming places I have ever visited. And it's such a delight.
That says a lot because you visited a lot of places.
Oh,
and your career. What is your career? How do you describe yourself?
Well, I'm a frustrated actress that started to cook, actually. And I started as a caterer and a confectioner. Then I began teaching. And then I always had a love for history. And that took me into the next level where a curator from the county parks took one of my cooking classes and said, if you could come out to Jefferson Barracks and do some kind of a food program, I think it would be great. You could stay here and enjoy yourself, come in a costume if you want. And that was the beginning of the affliction of my love with history, food history. And here I am today doing writing and foodways interpreting with the national parks and other local sites, and I have the opportunity to travel and learn more about food and culture and the history of food.
And that's what we're going to do in just a couple of minutes. Learn more about food, about culture, about the St. Louis food, and where to find. Can you get Basque food in St. Louis?
No, you can't, but you know what? If you want to go to Basque Country, just go basquecountry.com and find out, or visitspain.com. And you can get all kinds of information there.
Very good. Suzanne Corbett's our guest. We'll be right back. At your service, Johnny Rabbit, KMOX. This is Johnny Rabbit, at your service. We were just talking off the air here with Suzanne Corbett. And how do you decide? What is your title? If you said, if somebody's okay, what are you? Do you have a title? What do you do? You're an entrepreneur, your own business, so to speak?
Oh, I've done all kinds of things. But Suzanne Corbett today is a food writer, culinary historian, and foodways interpreter.
And you've given me three things here that you write for right now.
I write for Gazelle. Gazelle magazine.
But there's no magazine anymore, technically, a physical magazine.
Every once in a while in a blue moon, they'll print one for a special. Mm-hmm. But it is an online piece, so check that out. And also stlsportspage.com on their food and travel editor for the sports fan. And you'd be surprised all the fun things I come up with.
And who runs that?
That's Rob and Sally Raines.
Yeah, well, that's both familiar names.
Right, and West News Magazine that's out in West County, and Mid Rivers News Magazine.
So Mid Rivers where would that be?
That's St. Charles.
Okay.
St. Charles.
And are these, is that an actual magazine, or those two?
They're actually print and online.
West News and Mid Rivers. Let's say if I wanted a West News, obviously I'd have to go to West County.
Well, you probably do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, look online and then hit the tab, and you can have it arranged, delivered to your mailbox.
So those are, you write for them every week?
I write for them as the assignments come through. Mm-hmm. So I'm in there at least once a month or so.
I usually do
restaurant critiques and other programming things. Like I do have a cookie story that's coming up in West News Magazine on cookie tips and baking for the holidays. And I just did a piece that just came out, I believe it was last Friday, that features the holiday traditions of historic St. Louis, which is the huge event that's coming out on December 3rd that features nearly 20 different historic sites and homes throughout the St. Louis region on both St. Louis, St. Louis County, and our friends on the east side.
And what is this? Where do people get this?
You can go online to Historic St. Louis.
Historic St. Louis.
It's all of the historic sites. It's one way to promote each other's sites and to promote history and the holiday traditions that are practiced at each site. I will be at the Ulysses S. Grant Historic Site at Whitehaven. I'll probably be doing gingerbread again because that's what Grant loved. That was his favorite cake.
I'll be darned.
And I have recipes for the ginger biscuits that Lincoln liked, and I have a little story to talk about that. Campbell House will be open that day as well. And Sappington House. So you can kind of do a Grant tour if you want. You can make your own tour, you know, pick a theme. You want to do all north side, you can do all north side. You want to do the east side, or if you want to do a theme like Grant, then you can hit places that Grant lived or was in his neighborhood, like Sappington or Whitehaven and the Campbell House.
Now, I was asking off air about Basque food. Can't get that in St. Louis.
No, unfortunately, we haven't a Basque restaurant yet, but maybe we'll work on it and see if we can't inspire someone. But we've got some great Spanish tapas down at Guido's that are just on the hill.
Yep. The real thing, authentic.
Yeah, they're very, very good. Maybe we could talk to him about incorporating some pinchos into the menu.
You never know. Who knows? Guido's, we talked a bit with Joe DiGregorio before.
I heard him on, yeah.
He's an interesting fellow.
I knew his father. I guess it was his father, Roland.
Mm-hmm.
We did tours together years ago when I was teaching at St. Louis Community College and at the Lindbergh Delt Ed, where we would bring tours up to the hill and Roland would lead us through, and we'd eat our way through the hill. It was great.
It was wonderful. Well, what do you have in that? You got a little package.
I brought you gifts from Spain.
I know.
This is another nice little gift. Now, this wasn't from Basque Country, but on my way out, we stopped at Madrid. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you only have less than 24 hours to spend in Madrid before you get on a plane? You tour around the back streets and thoroughfares, and you mingle with the people. And I found the most wonderful shops, bakeries, but I found a confectioner that specialized in violet-flavored candies and pastries. And these are some little violet little sugared sweets.
Oh, that looks good.
Little candies that I think you're going to enjoy.
Oh, they are two little tiny candies. That's cute. And a cute little package, too.
It's something I ran across. We were at the Four Seasons.
Oh, nice.
And we just 2 blocks away from there, from our digs there, that we could find all these little shops.
Now, when you did this tour, was this with a group or a culinary group or just by yourself?
Oh, no. It was a culinary theme group that I was honored to be invited to go and learn about the culture and the cuisine of the area. And I learned so much. I just can't wait to share it all.
Good. Well, we're going to hear more, I hope, from you and see you soon. And it's this Wednesday coming up. That's the Campbell House and the Demonel and the Whitehaven.
Wednesday is the historic house tour.
The house tour.
Which is with Field, Demonel, and Campbell House. And then Historic St. Louis is December 3rd, which takes in account all of the historic sites that are members, which are 20-plus people, 20-plus organizations and houses.
A lot of things to do.
A lot of things to do for the holidays, besides trimming the trees.
Oh, yeah, that's another story. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Very much. Thanks for the gifts, too. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.